Rotatoes, how are you doing? I hope you're well. It is Friday, and we have something very special that I want to talk to you about, which is that this coming Tuesday, we will be launching the backer kit for our brand new role-playing game, Force of Extinction. If you're listening to this the Tuesday after the Friday this came out, then it's live right now. So a little bit to tell you about this. This is a game that I've been working on personally with one of my very good friends, Edward Spence, for like 2 years now. I'm extremely proud of it. It has been a real labor of love, and I don't think I ever really imagined that it would ever kind of get to this point, but we kind of had this really amazing journey where we were just so surprised and shocked at how much people loved playing the game and how much they were enjoying it, and the sort of silly, chaotic, ridiculous and awesome energy that the game would give to people. And it was like the biggest point of pride to see people actually like out in the world playing it. And the idea that we're going to be launching very, very soon to fully fund it and have a fully created book is just really, really wildly exciting. And for anyone who's listening to this, who has played it or has shared it or has followed it or has interacted with it in any way, shape or form, thank you so much. And to everyone else, please go and check it out. Like, it would mean genuinely so much to just for you to have a look, see what is on offer with our backer kit. I think we put together some really epic and cool tiers. And yeah, the game itself is really, really fun. It's a great time. You know, so many people have played it and we've gotten so much positive feedback now. So I'm feeling, just kind of overwhelmed, and excited ahead of next week. So yeah, if you're listening to this, then please, 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 if you get half a second, I know, that, you know, it's not always super easy for people to be able to give and to back and all those kinds of things. I completely appreciate that. But even just sharing it, like sending it to a friend, being like, oh, this looks like a cool game, you know, sending it to your GM, being like, can we run this sometime? Because if you do, you go on there and you follow the page, and then you can actually download the quick start guide right now, which is like 10 pages or maybe even less, and you can get started playing the game like straight away. It's like super easy to learn. It's super quick. Even if you just want to, you know, do something a little different, you know, from your normal, you know, your regularly scheduled D&D game, then you can. And speaking of doing something a little different from your regularly scheduled D&D game, this episode is actually normally would go out exclusively on the Patreon, but we figured it's a pretty big milestone that we're having over here at 12 Sided Studios and for me personally, so we thought that we would share this out, and this is why we're putting this episode out, even though technically this is a little sort of jump forward in the sort of schedule. This episode is part of Arc 4, that is going out right now on the Patreon. So once again, a little shameless plug for the Patreon. If you ever want to catch up and get caught up much earlier than you are here, over here on the public feed, then you can do. Go ahead and check out the Patreon. You can join it for as little as $5 a month. That's like 2 coffees. I mean, come on, why would you not do that? And I do believe we also have some exclusive Patreon discount. So if you're a Rotating Heroes member on Patreon, you'll actually get a discount on the backer kit. So I mean, come on, that just makes sense, right? Just do that and save yourself some money. Like, who doesn't love saving money? But yes, so this is actually a extra special episode because it is the team behind 12 Sided Studios, Chad Pytel, Ellie Crook, and Zachary Fortescom, who have worked very, very, very hard to bring this game to life, who are going to help me tell the story for this episode. We start off in this one doing a little settlement creation and character creation session, and tells you a little bit about how the game works, and then in the next episode, which will be coming out in just a few days, we'll dive into a full adventure on the planet of Sim around these wonderful silly little idiots, which is, you know, much par for the course for over here in Rotating Heroes. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me waffle on at you for 4.5 minutes. Wow. And I really hope that you enjoy this episode, and if you can, please take a moment to head to backerkit.com, where you can find out all the information about this epic backer kit that we are putting out there. Take it away, pass me. The Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody. We are here for a pre-arc. That's right, a pre-arc bark, a pre-bark, a spruce, if you were going to take the sort of bark meaning the stuff that covers a tree rather than dog's bark, you could call this a spruce of an episode, because we're going to be here setting some things up, growing some roots, if you will, because we're actually going to be playing a different game. But fear not, we're still going to be playing in the world of Axis, but we're going to be playing the game Force of Extinction, which is a brand new TTRPG developed by 12 Sided Studios, by myself, Chad Pytel, and Edward Spence, who you know and love, who has just GM'd, in fact, an arc of this campaign. Ed is not here, however, who is here is Chad Pytel. Welcome to Rotating Heroes!
Yippee-yay!
Yeah, he's nailed it. He's listened to the show. We love it. So Chad is executive producer over here at 12 Sided Studios. And you may catch a little theme with the other folks that are in this particular episode. But we'll see if you can deduce that later. Old Sherlock Holmes sat there at home listening on your headphones. Because the next person up is another producer of 12 Sided Studios, Zach Vorderscombe. Welcome to the show.
Hello. So good to be here.
Woohoo. This one was easier to schedule than normal. Hey, Zach. And last, but by no means least, hey, Ellie Crook, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Oh, wonderful. Well, in fact, if you've seen anything, if you found the show via social media, it was almost certainly Elle's work. So, you know, that's we got a huge lot of thanks there. But yeah, this is a little portion of the 12 Sided Studios team. We figured since we were going to be showing off a 12 Sided Studios game, what better way to do it than have the crew that is helping to bring it to life along with us. So really appreciate you guys all for being here. Yeah, Force of Extinction, guys. As we're recording this, we are but a few days away from the backer kit launching.
Oh my word.
It's just, guys, we're going to be on video for this one, so if you just wipe the concerned looks off of your faces, that'd be, you know? Yeah, everyone's fine, everything is perfect. We actually were done months ago, right, guys? Everything was in place months ago. We're all
for sure.
Well, this will be a nice reprieve, if nothing else, for us all. We can just sit and have a good time. So we are here to play Force of Extinction. Part of the game of Force of Extinction is you actually, and part of the reason that it is so quick and easy to pick up and start playing is that you don't really even need to know the rules going in. It is a very lightweight system and it is designed for roleplay and big epic moments. But we're going to find out who you guys are going to be roleplaying as. I'm going to ask you a series of questions about your, I'll use the word, scavengers, right? That's I know, crazy. Who knows where we're going to be or what we're going to be doing today. I do. We're going to find out who you guys all are. So the nice thing in Force of Extinction is that there's not a huge amount of prep in terms of character work. We have only three sort of key stats to worry about, and that is wit, grit, and survival. And of those three things, all you have to do is establish a threshold. This is essentially a minimum requirement that you need to get, you need to roll below in order to make a success on that particular check. I'm going to ask each of you now. In fact, we'll answer a little bit more about our characters and then we can go back to that. But have that in your head, what you think your character might be good at, wit, grit, or survival. But I'm going to ask you a couple of questions first, and then we'll kind of come back to that. I'll also ask you each for a tool, and tools are very important because they help you build your dice pool in Force of Extinction. So also be thinking about what tool you might want to use. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you first, and we'll do is I'll ask a bunch of questions, and then you will go around at the end, and you can just sort of give me a little rundown of who your character is. So first question is, what is your name?
Buddy.
Buddy. Love that.
Went real hard instantly.
I feel like I was waiting for someone to be like, guy, and someone else to be friend.
I think I'm Sender.
Sender. It's not as original as Buddy, but that's fine. we could live with it. How do you have a name?
This could just be because I've been watching a bunch of Bridgerton recently, but the first one that came to mind was Penelope.
Great.
Wonderful.
Penelope. Yeah, fantastic.
Pen for short.
Pen. That's very good. Okay. What do you think your character does in this settlement when they're not out scavenging for stuff and things? What do you think they might do around the settlement to potentially help out, lend a hand?
I think Sender helps out in the kitchens.
Okay.
I think maybe Buddy is like a bit of a chemical engineer, like sourcing like scavenged stuff and like making weird concoctions.
How unstable are said concoctions?
Oh, deeply.
Deeply. Chemical concoctions.
But like sometimes they're really helpful. Like sometimes I make cooking oil. Other times I make high-grade explosives.
It's just knowing when to use which is the real key.
Yeah. This one should do this. I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure that's what it is. Okay, wonderful. So yeah, how many times have you nearly killed Sender, I guess, if he's helping out in the kitchen?
Constantly.
Yeah, just all the time. Wonderful. And Pen.
Ooh, Pen, I think just purely because of the name, is a bit of a cataloger. They make sure that everything in the settlement, inventory is fully, we know exactly how many rations we have left and how much it has to be divided by per people in the settlement. And woe betide if there's a miscount, because I will have you.
Yeah, love that. Absolutely. Prepared to come down like a ton of bricks. Okay, let me see here. With that in mind, I'm probably going to give you... Chad, are you okay if I just assign you guys some archetypes?
Yeah, I was thinking Sender is sort of a scout or like the runner or something like that.
That makes sense. Well, I was thinking because it probably makes sense for Penn to maybe be our quartermaster. And Will... actually, this is a above table question. Chad, do you think we should be rank one or rank two?
I think maybe rank one to keep it easy. Maybe we could even rank up.
Ooh, let's not make my job more complicated, Chad. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okie dokie. So just an example, our quartermaster has a rank one ability called Always Prepared. Once per session, you can reveal a packed common item, rope, duct tape, ammo. You just can basically say, I packed this earlier, and pull it out of your bag. No cost whatsoever. It's actually really, really helpful. And what do we think Buddy's going to be? Could be a survivalist.
Yeah.
It's about foraging and sort of trying to find the particular items. And sort of knowing your way generally around dangerous things. You could go artillerist if the lion's share of things that you make tend to be explosive.
That sounds more fun.
Yeah, it does sound more fun.
That sounds like I can blow things up, Jasper.
Yeah, that's true. You can. You absolutely can. I won't let you be getting to rank three, though, if that is the case, because I did make a rank three ability called Noisy Unpredictable Kaboom Event, or Nuke for short, and it's very silly. And I only have myself to blame because I specifically created that one.
Right.
Good. What is my ability?
So your rank one ability is Improvised Explosive. So you can turn scrap into boom. By expending one power or one provision, you can craft an improvised explosive. This can be thrown to deal damage to a cluster of enemies or destroy a small obstacle.
Excellent, thank you. Is that written down somewhere I can grab?
Yes, I will absolutely. I will send it to you right now. That actually reminds me. I do apologize, Elle. Actually, I can give you a choice.
Ooh.
Because I've just remembered that we also have, and this was a later addition, which is why I managed to forget that we had it. Is the archivist as well? There is actually an archivist archetype. So the archivist gets Record Keeper, which is you carry knowledge of the old world. And when you make a wit check to recall history, to identify a technology, or decipher codes, you automatically gain a dice to your dice pool. You also may re-roll one die.
I mean, I think, because it sounds closer to what Pen is, and also it's a latest update thing that you've put in. Let's go archivist.
Hey, okay, very cool. Let's see. I don't think I've actually played... Have you played with an archivist in your midst, Chad?
No.
Yeah, this should be exciting. Let's see how this goes.
I think, actually, we have to double check. This might be one of the stretch goal.
Ah, well, this is perfect. It's even better.
This is what you might get if you back the game. And where can they back the game, Jasper?
That's a great question. They can back this at forceofextinction.com or by going to back it and just furiously typing in Force of Extinction. quite helpfully.
Do you want to go hang out in a house with Jasper for a weekend?
You can.
Go.
You absolutely
you can. Play this game.
Like, I'm going to make these guys do that because it's their job. You can do it by choice, by backing.
Actually why he pays us.
Yeah, exactly. I just pay these guys so that I have friends to hang out with. But you can also, you can be an additional friend.
This is a little too close to home for me. I would like us to change the subject, please.
That might be the funniest joke you've ever told, Chad. I'm going to be laughing about that for a week. That is... Oh, boy.
The world as you know it has ended. Welcome to the Evopocalypse. No one knows what caused this catastrophic ecological disaster, but in its wake, humanity is on the brink of extinction, and planet Earth has never been more alive. You and your fellow players are survivors, venturing out from desperate settlements with limited tools and dwindling resources. You must survive highly evolved predators and warped colossal creatures, with no memory of the animals they once were. But there is still hope. Together, you will explore the world you once knew, using your finely honed survival skills and repurposed weapons, not to mention mysterious and unpredictable resurrection technology. Hunt down the source of this disaster, even as it hunts you back. Force of Extinction is a brand new TTRPG that makes you feel like the post-apocalyptic hero of your dreams. Or nightmares. Forceofextinction.com. Sign up to the backer kit today.
Anyways, so... We have a loose idea who our characters are. I do have a sort of a bunch more questions. I'm going to rattle through these questions, and these are going to kind of act more as prompts for you, just to help you build out your character and then figure out where you're going to assign some of these points that you've got. So, yes, how did you lose yourself in the desert? That's probably a key one. How long have you been here? A general vibe like that. One way that might help frame the question of where to put your particular thing is in which sort of way do you think you're useful in a crisis? Do you like to talk your way out of a crisis? Are you just using your fists? Are you running away? Like, what's the trick for you that might help frame that a little bit? I know what we could do. We could go around and I'll ask each of you one question just to fill out this party a little bit more. I'm going to say, Buddy. Which of our survivors here once saved your life? And what, crucially, what did it cost them?
I feel like Penelope saved my life by taking me into the settlement. Like, I was maybe wandering the desert because I couldn't get in anywhere else. And it cost you your dignity.
What a cost to have paid.
Because I...
Some say too much.
I fuck up constantly. And I'm your fault.
I love the fact that it's an ongoing cost to Penelope. This is an ongoing toll that you are having to pay.
I regret it every day, but he's...
Every day. Occasionally I do something and you're like, no, see, look. And then I do something else and I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My permanent response to anything that that Buddy's done is just...
Oh, come on.
Dude.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Incredible. Okay, my next question then. Chad, can you please name me a rival scavenger crew that has a blood feud with you guys?
Ooh, the Skulls.
The Skulls. What's like the skull? What are the skulls known for? What's their like vibe?
I think they're like badass leather jackets with like metal spikes, and they have human skulls
on their skulls
on their top of their heads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God, they're so cool. And we're so not cool.
Okie dokie. We're going to go to the next question for you, Pen. And that is going to be, what is one rule that every scavenger on Sim knows? And it could be like, you don't smile at the moon. Like, it could be, do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something that, like, is like, a good piece of sound advice. It could just be, like, some slightly insane thing that all these people whose brains have been slightly cooked by the heat of the sun have, you know, sort of taken in.
Oh. Why did my mind immediately going to camping? It's sort of like, if you're going to pee in the woods, make sure you cover it up. I don't know. That's why that my mind went that way.
That's sound advice.
If you pee in the desert woods.
If you pee in the desert woods.
If you pee in the desert, you have to cover it up like a cat in a litter box.
Yeah.
I like
exactly. Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to say that actually that is sound advice because the smell that urine sort of, you know, it attracts lots of creatures because there are a lot of creatures on the world of Sim, as our lot of the audience will know, that are not fully organic. They are made of a semi-organic metal known as embryum, of which they are sort of born and birthed. And there are many big and scary ones in the desert. They thrive a lot better than you sort of weird flesh creatures who overheat and impractical things like that.
Why do we live here?
Well, that's the question for you to answer, I'm afraid. So with those out of the way, we're going to figure out what is our settlement. So I'm just going to go around. This will be super quick fire answers. I'm literally just going to go around the order that you are appear on my screen. What, Chad Pytel, dead thing, broken thing, or impossible thing is your settlement inside of?
Dead thing. I like that one. I think we're in the rib cage of a giant beast that died long ago and rotted away, and now it's just a big rib cage.
Love that. Okay. Zach, how does your settlement stay cool, given the fact that you don't have much shelter from the sun? Because it's just ribs, famously not joined up.
Famously, to stay cool from the sun, I'm just, you know, going through my mind palace of the things I have done to stay cool today. We ritually bury ourselves in the sand.
Love that.
That's awesome.
With little, like, air, like, reeds that come up for breathing. And it doubles as camouflage if something big comes to our settlement. It just looks like reeds coming out of the sand.
Okay, that's great. That's absolutely awesome. What is, L, one thing that happened in this settlement, we'll say recently, that changed it forever?
Our sacred idol was stolen by the skulls.
Ooh.
Fuck those guys. Come on.
Why they're our rival crew.
Yeah, but did you guys have, like, a really nice-looking skull?
Yes.
Yes.
But it was our one.
Yes.
We're allowed one.
They can't have all of them. God.
Yeah.
That's how it went down. Guys, we're allowed one. Please.
No.
Please. No.
Please.
Come on. You have all the other ones. We used to have a skull. Now it's just ribs.
They took the giant one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They live in that now.
They live in that one. That's kind of, yeah, okay. That almost feels, it's funny as well because you knew exactly who it was because it was just a giant drag marks in the sand. Like they absolutely couldn't, and it's just not that far away either. Like you could probably still see it from where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Routinely we get our telescopes out and we just stare at it and mutter to ourselves.
So much shade in the eye socket.
That is wonderful. Okie dokie. Well, we've got a little bit of an idea of what our settlement looks like. I'm going to ask, Elle, can you roll me a D10? 10, please.
That is a 9.
Ooh, okay. There are 9 other people living in this settlement currently. It's relatively, we'll say it's relatively sparse, sort of sparsely populated purely because it's a pretty big ribcage. So, you know, you've all each got kind of your own little areas and spaces. And I should imagine that you've put some pieces of fabric and things like that between certain bones and, you know, cordoned yourself off little rooms and, you know, little bits of shade, etc. So we are going to then figure out 2 more things, which is normally in Force of Extinction, I say normally, there's a couple of different ways that you can do this particular thing. Sometimes you get people to roll to establish what your resources at the settlement look like. I'm going to do it slightly differently today. I'm going to give you 20 points that you can put into your resources. So the resources that you have are power, provisions, and protection. Between them, you need to divide your 20 points. Discuss. What do you think you have in abundance? Is there anything you're running low on? I mean, you're kind of running low on everything if you've only got 20 to spend. Unless, of course, you choose to spend, you know, all 20 in power, but you are just absolutely starving and have no food. So yes, provisions, just to be clear, is equipment, tools, medicine. Power is things like generators, is how you put on, you know, lights, maybe power machines, things like that. And then protection is like, what kind of weapons or defenses do you have? What do you all think? And in fact, I'm going to be really generous, and because it's a pretty badass and cool place, I'm going to start you off on a baseline of 2 in your protection, because you do have a ribcage, which is cool.
Nice.
The ribcage, very defensible, not an Alporus.
Yes. Luckily, it doesn't rain often, or ever. So.
Okay, so we've got 2 in there. I don't want to be boring and, like, let's divide it equally.
No. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, don't do that. This is the Rotating Heroes podcast. We're here, we be silly.
Yeah.
What do you think we lack? I feel like it might be power. Power.
We live in a ribcage.
Right.
Okay, counterpoint though, solar energy, probably quite easy to come by. Food and water, tough. Especially given there's no organic animals here either.
So what do people eat?
I don't know. You're the ones that live in the desert.
I feel like I'm trying to find food in the desert here with information, yeah.
Yeah, 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 you really are.
Cactus juice.
There's some trippy cacti for sure.
There is.
I think low protection is funniest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we out here in the sun.
Okay. Maybe we have some provisions. Like, we have, like, what, 10 provisions?
Sure.
That sound like a good, reasonable number?
Yeah.
Then we maybe go 5 protection and then 7 power?
I say other way around.
7 protection, 5 power.
Okay. 7 protection, 5 power. So the way that these work is that they essentially obviously govern how well your settlement is running. If you have an abundance of these 3 things, then, you know, your settlement's generally doing well. As they start to get lower and lower, things tend to go worse. You can also spend these 3. So you can expend 3 of these points in 1 category for an auto success, obviously pretty costly if your power is only at 5. You can spend 1 to gain an additional dice in your pool by trying to essentially give yourself a 1-up. And Chad, correct me if I'm wrong, flashbacks also use?
Yeah, so that would be the 3. If you're doing 3 to get the automatic success, you role play a flashback or you've set something up in advance. Maybe a trap or establish a truth in the world about the, you know, the settlement or something like that.
Marvelous. So that is generally how the game works. The last thing to do is to assign our 3 thresholds and also pick a tool. So you get a 12, a 10, and an 8 to put into 1 of your 3 categories. Now remember, in Force of Extinction, the aim is to roll low. So if you want to be good at something, that's the higher threshold. So the 12 is the better score here because you have, essentially, it's easier for you to get under a 12 than it is for you to get under an 8. And so as an example of this, let's say you're trying to charm the pants off of someone in your settlement because you're hoping to get buried together during the ritual that's coming up, the ritual burying, then you might roll wit. But if your wit is an 8, you might need to, you then need to roll under an 8 to get a success. I might even say, hey, listen, you know, being out in the desert, you don't have great skincare right now and things, you know, you're not looking your sharpest, you smell a bit bad. I'm actually going to need 2 successes here. So then you need to roll 2 under an 8, which might be tough when you're rolling a d20. So keep that in mind, assign your scores. And then finally, I'm going to ask you to pick a tool. Now, the tool is a very, very important part of Force of Extinction. This is a sort of unique item for you, for your character. It should feel like an extension of your character in some ways. And your tool is designed to help you add dice to your dice pool. Because though you are rolling d20s and every adversary you come up against is likely rolling a much smaller dice, which makes it way easier for them to kill you than for you to kill them, you get to build a dice pool. You get to build a collection of dice, and you're looking for one or hopefully more successes in that dice pool. So your tool will help you do that. So for instance, an example like, my tool is a rope and I wish to climb something. I'm going to use my tool to fashion a little like lasso and hook it onto something up there. And then I'm going to pull myself up and I get an additional die to make this climbing check, for instance. But you can do whatever you want with the tool. I've had people who'll use it, have a skateboard. Several people just pick like one bomb, like a one-time use bomb, which seems wild to pick like a one-time use thing, but sure, you know, absolutely fine.
Now that sounds really interesting, Jasper.
That's a fascinating idea. Did you hear the bit where I said that wasn't a great idea?
It literally is Chekhov's bomb, basically.
Yeah. Yes, some people do pick weapons. Obviously, that's a pretty sort of crucial one. That does not to say that you can't use a weapon or other tools and things like that. But this specific tool, if you can justify its use case to me, then you'll get to add a sort of a die regardless of the situation. So it's an important thing. Okay, Elle, we'll start with you. What is your tool?
I want to go with a magnifying glass.
Ooh! Now, see, that's smart as shit, actually. You know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, that's really good. In a desert?
Yeah, multi-purpose, yeah.
That's good. That's really, really good. I'm so excited, though, for you to be chased by something huge and terrifying. You'd be like, hold still, wait, let me just find that. I just refract this, like, just 2 seconds. No! Jump. This is going to really hurt in a second. Wait. wonderful. Zach, what'd you go for?
Hear me out. This is stupid. A child's chemistry set.
Yes.
Love it. Like the ones that you make foam wigglies come out and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like the elephant's toothpaste and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Love that. And finally, Chad, what you got for us?
Well, I was thinking spyglass, but I don't know if that's too similar to magnifying glass, and I should pick something else. Hey, Jasper, actually, so can I be? What are people native to Sim called? Simians?
No, they're actually called Sims. But everyone that's native to Sim, they are actually robots. They are basically like the semi-organic metal.
Right.
When humans and humanoids alike started to settle on Sim. Previously, they had just copied the forms of animals that had previously lived there. And it was as soon as people kind of came and started sort of settling and colonizing that Sims then created at the same time. So that's weirdly the sort of natives and the people who arrived at the exact same time. And they have very similar personalities.
Is it okay if I play a Sim?
You can absolutely play a Sim, yes. You will essentially be playing a sort of what in, you know, sort of D&D parlance would be a sort of warforged.
Then I think that basically I'm thinking that I can transform my feet into rollers.
Cool. I like that.
And so it's basically a skateboard.
Yeah.
But
is it maybe like a surfboard though? Like, cause like just on the sand?
Oh yeah, that's right? Great.
Like a dune board. Yeah. Okay.
Dune board, yeah.
That's real fun.
You're basically the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
I was going to say the Rusty Surfer, but that's fine. Maybe Silver Surfer's better.
Sender the Rusty Surfer.
It's like, guys, the alliteration is right there. Just call me the Silver Surfer. Nah. You're pretty rusty, dude. You're pretty rusty. No way. Okay, wonderful stuff. Chad, have I missed anything? I think that's mostly it, right?
I think that's it.
Heck yeah. So that hopefully gives you a little glimpse as to how easy it is to just pick up the game and start playing. You ask your friends a bunch of fun questions, and you get to then dive straight in. So if this is, in fact, what I believe will be its own pre-arc, pre-bark episode, then please make sure to come back and listen to this wonderful episode, which will be canon within our universe. So not to be missed, because there may be lore on offer. But before I will go, of course, I will say go to forceofextinction.com. Please go to the backer kit. And if you can, back and support the project. These wonderful people here have been working so incredibly hard to bring it to life. And I could not be prouder of where the project is. So it would mean the world to us to see it do well and to have, honestly, like, you know, the success of the project is one thing. But I think knowing that there are people out there playing Force of Extinction will be like the coolest thing imaginable. Like, every single time I'm going to be anyone who's backed it, I'm going to be like, what happened? Tell me stories from the game. Like, I'm just, it's really, really cool. And so, yeah, very much appreciate all your guys' effort. You wonderful 12-sided folks in the call, and very much appreciate the love and support from you, our wonderful audience. We'll be back next week with this very game. Yippee-i-oh.
Yippee-i-oh.
Yippee-i-oh.